So our drink this week is from Eight Oaks Distillery. I went into Reading Terminal Market, which is right across the street from the convention center, and they had different distilleries selling wine and different spirits. So I just decided to go ahead and try this one called Eight Oaks Farm Distillery. And I bought a bottle of Applejack and a bottle of whiskey. And with the Applejack, this week I made a Jack Rose, which is on their website. This is an easy recipe to make. It's 2 ounces of Applejack, 1 ounce of fresh lemon juice, and a half an ounce of grenadine. They actually have a recipe for house-made grenadine if you want to make your own, or you can do like I did and do store-bought grenadine. All you have to do is put the ingredients in a shaker with ice and shake well. You can strain it into a glass. It says strain it into a martini glass or enjoy it over ice in a rocks glass. And you can garnish with a lemon slice or cherries. I'm not a cherries person, so.
I like cherries.
I know you do.
I love cherries.
So what did you think?
Well, it was tangy. It was sweet. It actually worked. I mean, it was quite delicious. Something that I really wouldn't have ordered, but I'm glad that it was made and you made that and it worked for me.
Yeah, I was feeling the same way. It was very tart, but it was really good. Like Andrew drank it like a shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I actually sipped it. But it was a very enjoyable drink. The Applejack is a warm drink. It's fermented distilled apple cider is what Applejack is made from.
Yes.
And it's rather warm. So when you know that feeling almost like a tequila, it was pretty good. So
you'll be looking for your pulse after you drink it.
No, but, and it definitely gives you a little bit of a buzz. So I would definitely try the Applejack again.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and with that, we'll go ahead and take a small break. And when we come back, you'll hear the trailer and our review or our breakdown of Birdemic 2.
Ugh.
Yeah.
There's never been a movie made from the indie perspective.
You know, maybe Sunset Dreams will be your comeback movie.
I'm betting on it.
I haven't made my big movie break yet.
I really think you should audition for the lead role of Kim.
Okay, I'll consider it.
We decided to invest $1 million in your movie.
Awesome! Okay. We're offering you the lead role of Kim.
How wonderful!
And action.
What can I do to ever repay you?
A lot.
Star bright, my light, so bright, star bright, gonna party tonight.
Yesterday, it rained dead birds. 5,000 birds fell from the sky and were found dead in Beebe, Arkansas, Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, don't you know that birds are the descendants of dinosaurs?
Look, the birds are flying away.
The birds attacked the set and killed everybody.
Maybe it's global warming.
The seas of the earth are rising because the ice in the Arctic is melting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Trees are cut down to make toilet paper.
But what if the animals try to attack us?
We can defend ourselves. We have guns.
So, my friend from Canada, who also does a podcast, when I told him we were doing this movie, he called us sadists. We are. We must be.
Apparently.
Because this movie...
Yikes. Just yikes.
This movie...
There's no words for it.
There's no words for it.
If you thought the first one was bad...
Hold on to your seats.
Yeah.
Hold on to your seats.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Bad Movies and Booze, where apparently we're sadists and we have a thing for watching stuff that will make your stomach churn and you just rush yourself to another room to take care of business.
It'll make you really want to drink.
Yeah, because I couldn't drink because I was working. So I couldn't do anything.
I didn't drink, but I should have.
Yes, and I would not have blamed you one bit.
Oh my gosh.
If you're trying to figure out what it is we're talking about, you heard the promo in the beginning. Yes, Birdemic 2, The Resurrection. Good grief. Let's just jump right into this because...
Who's in the movie? What is it about?
Well, what it's about, a platoon of eagles and vultures attack Hollywood, California. Why did the eagles and vultures attack? Who will survive? It earned a 1.6 out of 10 rating.
And I don't know how it got the 0.6. I think it only got the 1 because it had to. Like, you couldn't do 0.
People had to have been trying to jump the number, and next thing you know, everyone else called it for what it was, which was no, absolute yes. No.
Absolute.
As far as the cast, we have the returning Alan Baugh and Whitney Moore, newcomers Thomas Favaloro, Chelsea Turnbow, Thuan Liu, Aaron Presper, Brittany N. Pierce, Colton Osborne, returning Rick Camp, returning Patsy Van Ettinger, Damian Carter. Our buddy Damian has returned. Yes. And Steven Gustafson.
The tree hugger.
Ugh, man. This dude. Yeah, the one thing that I'm not going to be hugging is the budget. $20,000.
Yeah.
In other words, Family Feud money.
Yeah.
Fast money.
Yeah, and even on Fast Money, you have the potential to leave with $100,000 if you get $20,000 each day for 5 days. These poor people didn't even have that chance.
And a shot at a brand new car. Oh, wait a minute, they got a brand new car.
It wasn't even a car.
It was four wheels and an engine, right?
Yeah.
Brand new car.
The movie starts out in Hollywood. They show a sign for Hollywood and Vine. And there's a guy. And he's walking.
And walking.
And the camera angle changes so many times. And it doesn't make any sense because all he's doing is walking down the street. And then the camera's shaky and crooked again. Like the cameraman is riding a bike or is jogging behind or next to the guy.
Yes.
Because the camera would not stop moving.
No.
So the guy walks into this bar. And this is one beat up, dilapidated looking bar. The bar is called Hollywood the Happy Ending.
Yeah, there ain't nothing happy about this place.
No.
Look miserable.
And we meet another waitress that is horrible at acting. The guy, we find out, his name is Bill. Gloria is the waitress.
Yeah, two new kids, you know. I guess that young love, you got to start with that.
No. So Bill tells Gloria that he's a movie director and he's telling her how beautiful she is. Mm-hmm. And that she should audition for his movie, Sunset Dreams.
Yes.
He also tells her that he needs a pitcher of beer and two glasses because he's expecting a friend. His friend, of course, is Rod.
First one.
Yes. And Rod and his girlfriend, Natalie.
Oh, they're boyfriend, girlfriend now.
Yes. Ooh. She cut her hair.
Yay.
Why not? I mean, they were dating before, so.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of muddy back in the first part. We couldn't understand if it was dating.
They were dating. But then, I mean, you think about it, after having to save yourself from these crazy birds and take care of these two little kids that you just happen to find.
You find some love in there.
Of course.
Yeah, I suppose that's how it worked. You know, you find yourself at a place, a restaurant. You see this young lady there. Yes, I'm recapping the first one. Young love, weird walking, bad dialogue.
Bad dialogue. In
the middle of winter in October.
Yeah. Well, this dialogue here wasn't any better.
No.
It really wasn't.
Absolutely not.
You would think that they would have learned a little bit of acting between the two movies, but
no. They
didn't. Anyway, while we're in there, when Rod and Natalie comes and says hi to Bill, There's automatically a third glass. We don't know how it got there, but hey.
Plot.
Yeah. They start talking indie films. And they're doing a lot of talking about these indie films. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but it's just weird conversation that has absolutely no place in the movie. And Bill hits Rod up for $100,000. So that he can option his script for Sunset Dreams so the movie can be made. So then he tells Natalie to audition for the lead role. And this is the same lead role that he told Gloria to audition for.
So I'm like, wait a minute, dude. You just offered this young lady here to audition. Right. Now you're offering your boy's girl
right.
to audition.
Yeah.
What are you playing at, man?
Yeah. Now we see that scene is over. And Bill is, I guess it's home. And he's eating. And he's watching the news. It seems that everybody watches the news while they're eating, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's eating and watching the news, and they're talking about how birds fell out of the sky and rain turned red. And I think it was the same news chick as the first.
Yeah.
She looked familiar. Yeah. It was a story about that. And they just told people, stay inside and use an umbrella.
So which one is
red rain? But it doesn't matter. It's red rain, and they're just acting like everything is okay. Like everything is normal.
Ah, oh, man.
So then Bill is walking again, and it's a long walk again.
Walk-demic.
Yeah. So he runs into Gloria. Gloria's looking all sad and miserable. He finds out that she wants to go back home and give up acting. I don't know where home is, but she wants to go back home and give up acting.
So many tryouts and so many calls and no calls. I get frustrated too. I want to go home.
Yeah. Bill convinces her not to go home until she auditions for his movie. And he's like, he'll give her $1,000 if she doesn't get the part. Of course, where they're talking, they just happen to pan down. And there's Tippi Hedren's star, her Walk of Fame star, because of course,
Tippi was in the first movie.
She was not in the first movie.
She was in the movie in a movie.
Yes, she was in a movie in a movie. And
yeah, major shout out to Tippi Hedren if she's listening. Major shout out to you, my dear, because they're wearing your name down.
Major shout out to Tippi Hedren.
Major shout out to Tippi Hedren. Hope she's still with us and listening. If so, I don't mean it in a mean way or a malicious way. I admire you and love you. We just want to make sure you are all right.
Yeah, that might get cut. So that scene is over. Bill and Rod are now talking to investors. One of the investors we see is Rod's boss from the first movie.
So apparently he's pulling some major duty.
So he's this investor and they're talking about the movie. And the investors are like, the movie's good, but where are the topless chicks and the sex scenes?
What?
And we're like, what? That's so.
Is that needed?
So Bill is talking about how none of that is needed to tell a story. He didn't want to tell a story like that. And the investors decide, okay, we'll give you $1 million. Bill does this weird cheering. Like he puts his arms up in the air and he's like, hooray, I did it, kind of. And it's only them four in the room.
So what's the point? You're not in the middle of a crowd campaigning or anything, and you realized you won.
Yeah, it was weird. So then you see Natalie audition for the part in the movie, and Gloria audition for the part.
They both suck, by the way.
Yeah, they both suck. Ugh. I mean, and then you only get this one line from the movie that they just keep saying over and over. And it's a bad line, so I don't even remember it. It was that bad.
You don't even want to. If you want to know what the line is, you got to watch the movie.
Oh, my gosh. It's horrible. Don't watch the movie.
So that's what we're here for.
Yeah. So they're talking about the movie. It's Bill, Rod, and some other chick that we don't ever get her name. They're talking about the two girls auditioning, and they're saying how they were both good, But Gloria has more acting skills. She's been acting longer, so give her the part. And Natalie can get a supporting part. So
Rod wasn't too thrilled about that news. Nah, you can tell by his look on his face. But it's the same look on his face the whole time.
Yeah. Bill calls Gloria, tells her she got the part. She's, of course, excited. And he is like, oh, well, you know, maybe we can go out to dinner and talk about it. And she's like, are you hitting on me or hitting me up or whatever? And he's like, no, it'd just be business.
At that moment, that's where I started piecing together that this sequel is starting to look a whole lot more like the first one.
Yeah, it has a lot of the same concept from the first one. It's just they added two extra people. And, I mean, you hardly see Rod and Natalie in the movie. It's more about Bill and Gloria. So Gloria and Rod are at dinner, and they start talking about Gloria's grandfather was an actor, and he's Jack Marlowe, which I found out Jack Marlowe is a writer,
yeah.
I believe is what I found when I was doing some Google searching.
Yeah.
So then they're in Bill's car. Mm-hmm. And it's some tiny two-seater sports car convertible. And they're playing some bad 80s music in the background. And it's a driving montage where he's driving down the street. And we find that they have one of these magical sunglasses.
Yes. When we say magic, it's one part they're just driving along. Next part, sunglasses. Next part, they're driving some more with no sunglasses. Sunglasses again.
Yeah.
What?
So we were trying to figure out where the sunglasses are coming in at. And Gloria, after asking, is Bill hitting on her? While they're in the car, she's touching all over his face and everything. Then they're out of the car and they're walking down on the beach. And they happen to run into Rod and Natalie, who were walking on the beach as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, big beach, California, but you just happen to run into these two. And then,
oh my God, here it comes.
We see these legs. They're supposed to be in water. It's CGI legs in CGI water. Yeah, that's best way to explain it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's legs and bikini bottom. That's all you see. And they just happen to be floating in the water like, kicking around like somebody's floating in the water, but they're not moving anywhere.
They're not moving like they should when you're in water, when you're trying to tread water.
Right. They're just
just dancing underwater.
Yeah.
Under quote unquote water.
Right. And then you start hearing this ominous music. And there's this big jellyfish. And of course, it's the fakest, it's the worst jellyfish. It's this big gray blob.
It's a creeper.
And it starts going after the lady. And then there's this crazy fight in the water with these weird legs and this weird jellyfish where they're doing this weird fight. I don't know what is happening.
It's a creeper. It's a creeper jellyfish trying to attack some legs, and it doesn't exist.
Yeah. So on our Facebook page, I posted a little section of this fight that you can look at and see what we're talking about. It's hilarious.
Just hilariously sad.
Hilariously sad, absolutely. And then the lady runs out of the water.
Yes.
And she just lays, she's yelling help. All the people on the beach, so many people on the beach, nobody's paying her any mind. She just happens to lay in front of Rod, Natalie, Bill, and Gloria and ask them to help.
Are you okay?
Yeah. And she has these red lines, like somebody just took a red Sharpie and drew squiggly lines on different parts of her body. But there's lines on her shoulder and down her arm. Her arms weren't in the water at all.
Not from what we could see.
No. Her arms were never in the water.
Yeah.
Then she's like, she got stung by a jellyfish. A giant jumbo jellyfish.
Oh, God. All right, people, start getting your glasses and your bottle of your best and worst scotch.
They said giant jumbo jellyfish at least 6 times, I believe. They just kept saying it.
Giant jumbo jellyfish, giant jumbo jellyfish, yeah. Giant jumbo jellyfish. You can make a damn song out of this.
It's like, oh, what happened to her? She got stung by a giant jumbo jellyfish.
Giant jumbo jellyfish.
Yeah, a giant jumbo jellyfish.
A giant jumbo jellyfish. What the hell? Shut the fuck up.
So we're looking at them staring forward. And then all of a sudden we see them from behind, the four of them. And there is an ambulance.
Or what we think is an ambulance.
This CGI ambulance goes zooming off.
I'm swearing there's a turn at the end of this parking lot and it just went into a mountain or something.
Oh my gosh.
So whoever was driving it along with this jumbo giant jellyfish woman probably got flattened by this thing.
So then that scene ends. And they've now changed their clothes and they're at the Tar Pit Museum with Rod's adopted son, Tony, which is the boy from the first movie.
Right. It was good to see him. He grew up.
And while they're in the Tar Pit Museum, Tony says he wished Susan could have been there. Susan, the little girl.
Right. From the first movie.
But he said she got a disease from the fish Rod cooked.
In the first movie.
So at the end of the first movie, we were talking about how Rod had caught and cooked a fish and the kids wanted Happy Meals. So they didn't even eat the fish. But Susan obviously got a disease and died from eating the fish that Rod cooked.
There was a little bit of a debate that Leslie and I were having as far as the dialogue, as far as the fate of Susie.
Yeah.
I thought she was alive and just like in a hospital somewhere.
No.
But the way that we had to listen to that part again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's definitely, Susie's dead. Definitely dead.
She dead from fish poisoning.
Yeah. So they walk outside of the Tar Pit Museum. And they run into Dr. Jones, and Dr. Jones is on a bridge again. So Dr. Jones is the doctor who was telling them to keep back because the birds were contaminated in the first movie. So they run into him again, and they're like, oh, yeah, we remember you from when we saw you at Half Moon Bay. And of course, he just happens to remember them as well.
Oh, yeah. How are you?
And so Tony... for some reason, decides he needs to ask Dr. Jones if he had any birds that he can play with.
Well, remember, Dr. Jones' specialty is bird science.
Yeah, but really?
Yes.
Do you have any birds I can play with?
Plot. It's birdemic. You know, so he has to play with birds.
He tells him he has, the birds he has are too large and scary for him to play with. But he said he'll send him some lovebirds. And everybody's like, all right, like this is some great prize or whatever.
You forget what's about to happen, aren't you people?
So then Dr. Jones starts talking about, he's at a conference about prehistoric eagles and vultures. And he goes in to start telling them how...
I'm holding my face with my hand. Leslie looked at me and she knows... I got some stuff to say.
So then he tells them how the birds used to eat cavemen.
Which I can understand because, you know, that was a different time and, you know, birds are going to bird.
So then they show this flashback.
Oh, dear God. Oh, God, it's a caveman and a cavewoman.
Yes.
They are out in the wide open having sex. And if you want to know the type of position, she was on top.
Yeah. And he was making this. He was like, oh.
Yeah, some Captain Caveman shit.
And then these birds come out of nowhere. Bad CGI birds.
Yes.
To kill the cave people.
Well, not really bad CGI, but better than what it was the first go-round.
It's still bad.
It's still bad, but it was better looking birds. The budget helps.
Just slightly.
It's a slightly better bad bird. There we go. Slightly better bad bird.
A better bad bird?
A better bad bird.
A better bad bird.
A better bad bird.
So they get killed by the birds.
Yes, they did.
And so that was the end of the flashback. And then Dr. Jones starts explaining how the tar pits not only preserve the skeletons of the birds, but the DNA in the blood vessels. So now we know where these birds are going to come from. Where the birdemic birds are going to come from.
The tar birds.
Yes. So the two couples are on the beach again, and they had changed clothes. I don't know why they're on the beach at this time.
I guess it's just to relax and reflect.
I don't know.
But where was Tony to relax and reflect?
I don't know.
Did he go off with Dr. Jones? I mean, is Dr. Jones a bird scientist and a child daycare?
Yeah, he just left. He just disappeared. Tony was nowhere to be found anymore. They go back to the bar, and this place, they showed a little more of it. And when I tell you, it looks like somebody took an old auto shop and just threw some props in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad and so dirty. And for somebody who is offering $100,000 to their friend just to option a script.
And you made $1 million in the Silicon Valley dream that you had.
Right.
You could afford to go to a nice bar, nice club, something. Yeah.
And so they run into Natalie's mom, and she starts trying to push Rod and Natalie to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Why this conversation happens, we don't know, because
Mom's trying to be a grandma, and she wants to make sure she's young enough to play them babies.
Yeah, she did say that.
I understand.
It was unnecessary.
Yeah.
So then
this whole movie was unnecessary.
Yeah. Our favorite singer is back.
The MVP.
And he's singing another bad song.
Yes.
Here's a little clip of it. So this song goes way too long.
Yes, it does.
Way too long. And they're dancing. They still can't dance. They didn't take any type of lessons. And at least there were more people on the floor.
Thankfully. But
a lot of them couldn't dance either.
People were just doing their own thing while this man was playing his music and singing his song.
And then Rod and Bill, they do the whole kicking the leg and swinging around. And then Bill leans down and Rod flips over his back. And then they stand up and they're doing these other dance moves. And I'm like, what? Almost everything in the movie is like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Damien starts singing an even worse slow song. It's so much worse than the other two songs. Everybody's slow dancing. And it cuts away. And Bill and Gloria are in a motel room, and they're making out like really bad Cinemax at night. Really, really bad. I think putting a Cinemax at night scene probably would have been better.
Yes, Skinemax. That's why they call it Skinemax, because they know how to put together a softcore scene.
Oh, this.
It's beautiful when Cinemax does it. Showtime 2. HBO, scene, you got real sex.
This scene was so bad. It was really bad.
We don't even know what type of intimacy they were having. I'm like, really?
Yeah. So all of a sudden, there's red rain again.
Yeah.
But this time we see the red rain. Before, they were just talking about it. This time we see the red rain. But the people in the background were just walking around like nothing was happening. They weren't turning red. Nothing was turning red. We just saw the red rain in front of the screen.
That's right.
and we're in front of the Tar Pit Museum. Inside, there's all this noise. Like, they go inside the Tar Pit Museum and they're showing all the different animals that they have on display, and they're making all this noise. And then we're back outside, and all of a sudden, two cavemen float up.
The caveman and the cavewoman from the sex scene.
Yes.
The sexy flashback.
Float up in the tar pit, and then birds start flying out, like speed, so fast, flying out of the tar pit.
Yes.
And so, people are still walking around like nothing's going on.
Of course, because no one told them what's going on and what they're getting themselves into. Next thing you know, you have all these mutant birds with all this red rain, and you don't have anyone walking around with an umbrella and staying inside.
No.
Kind of messes this.
The CGI birds, they are better bad birds.
Better bad birds.
They are like a cartoon on the back. But when they start showing them, they're just flying in front of the screen.
Yes.
The vultures are like, they're really like the fakest vultures.
Yes.
So fake.
Yes.
So after they all come flying out, there's no noise outside. There's no screaming. Nobody cares that there's these birds. We're now on the movie set with Bill and Rod and Gloria and Natalie, and they're doing Sunset Dreams. There's a few other crew members in there, and they're filming the movie.
Their acting is horrible in Birdemic, so their acting in Sunset Dreams is even worse.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the birds are inside the movie set.
Who the hell let the birds in?
Why didn't anybody see the birds flying in?
Who let them in? Who dropped the ball?
Even if, like, they left the door open and the birds started flying in, nobody saw the bird flying in. They had two security guards. The security guards weren't security.
They were not securitying.
They were not securitying.
No.
No.
Absolutely.
They just let the birds fly in. So the birds fly in, and Natalie says, quick, grab a hanger.
Natalie, Natalie, the MVP, she showed that she knew what was up. She knew the situation.
No.
She knew how to prepare herself to take these things out with a hanger.
No.
A wire hanger.
No, they weren't
Mommy
even wire.
Dearest.
I think they were plastic hangers this time.
Look, well, Mommy Dearest would be proud because they're not wire hangers.
So they start fighting these things with the wire hangers. The security guards come over and they start shooting. And then the security guards are killed.
Mm-hmm.
Rod and Natalie pick up the guns and they start shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And the birds are splitting in half when they shoot them.
Can someone explain that to me? How do you get one Omega level bullet, shoot it at a bird, and it just splits down the middle and splits off?
Splits in half. Completely split in half.
I need an officer. I need a forensic person that specializes in bullet trajectory to explain this shit. Can you tell us?
I don't think anybody can.
So
the birds go away. The crew that's left start running. First, Rod tells Natalie to give him the gun. And Natalie says, really? You're a terrible shot.
Says the woman that don't know how to aim a gun and shoot it properly.
Not at all. She still didn't learn how to shoot a gun.
Never will.
No. So then we get another scene. We're on another movie set. And there's three women. And two of them are completely topless.
Yes.
And Andrew gets up and claps.
Yeah. Yes. We got budget money for boobies.
Didn't even have great boobies.
Yeah, one of them were fake as hell.
Yeah, and then the third one took her shirt off. So there's three women.
Topless.
No bras.
Yep.
And they're talking. And then this guy, because it's the movie scene, he comes in and he's chasing the women around this locker room. That's where the scene is, with a knife. And all of a sudden the birds come along.
And they see the birds, and then they start fighting off the birds.
Yeah, they start trying to fight off the birds.
Knife man, dead.
But Yeah, the birds end up killing each of them one by one.
Knife man dead. Blonde woman dead.
Yeah.
Blonde woman dead. The brunette is the only one that lasted the longest.
Yeah. But they all die.
Dead.
Rod, Natalie, Bill, Gloria, and the other crew members from the Sunset Dreams set, they go over there to help. And they're going over to each person and they're like, yeah, oh, she's dead. Dead. She's dead. Yeah. He's dead. Yeah, she's dead.
Dead, dead, dead.
They're dead.
Dead, dead.
She's dead. He's dead. And it's like, why do you keep saying they're dead? Like, they just kept saying it. So then they go outside. And now the birds are outside.
Of course they are.
And there is the longest fighting scene. Just way too long. They're shooting. They're punching at the sky. Drop kicking the birds.
Yeah.
Roundhouse kicking. How they're kicking the birds, I don't know. But they're doing all this kicking and punching and just swatting. But then there's other people who are over on the side, like these other ladies who, help, help me over here. Like, why can't you fight the birds? If you see them fighting the birds.
That makes a lot of
sense. Why can't you fight the birds?
Too much like right again.
Obviously. So so many people dying. Like, this scene goes on forever.
Mm.
And so then the birds are flying away. And this guy, there's one of the guys on this Sunset Dreams crew. He's an Asian guy named Will. And Will says, look, the birds are flying away. And then they start talking about why the birds are there. And then they start trying to go into this whole global warming thing about the birds. And then Will says, let's change the subject. Jaws is one of my favorite movies.
Man.
And everybody's like, what are you talking about? Like, the about people in the movie. Now? Yeah, they're like, why are you talking about movies? He's like, well, I feel like I'm in a movie right now. And maybe I'll write a movie about this, about the birds attacking us.
My man broke the fourth wall.
Yeah, and then they started talking about how one of the guys will direct it. Rod will be the executive producer. And Natalie was like, okay, look, we need to stop daydreaming and get out of here before the birds come back.
There you go.
Like, let's bring us all back to reality. So then they're walking. They're still on this Hollywood movie set. So now they're outside on the set and they go to this area that says Western scene. It's all these old dried up trees and there's this old house, and I guess it's supposed to be an old Western house. And they say, oh, it really smells over here. And you see that there's a guy who's dead on the porch. Some cowboy, whatever. He's dead on the porch of this house. And they go over and they check him. They say, yeah, he's dead. Bill tries the door. He says the door is locked. So they're like, let's get out of here. They start walking away. And this lady is inside the house and she starts banging. Help, let me out of here. Let me out of here. And they're like, oh, somebody's inside.
So here's a question for you, everybody. You find a house. There's someone laying dead on the porch. You can't get into the house. All right, fine. But there's someone inside the house saying, let me out, let me out. What the fuck?
But then she opens the door and comes out and says, oh, hi. And she has on the tiniest shorts. Like,
I'm waiting for some lip action.
She had absolutely no booty.
Zero.
And these shorts were like a tiny bandeau top. Like a tiny tube top for her bottom.
Yep.
They were so small.
Just so awful.
She started talking about how she ran inside because the birds killed everybody. There was only one dead person there, but the birds killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, well, come with us. And Will tells her, yeah, my name is Will and I'm going to be a writer. And it's like, who cares?
But who gives a shit, yeah,
like we're being attacked by birds. And so they start walking. And this is when they just happen to run into, as they're walking, they see that there's two people sitting down. One of them just happens to be the tree hugger.
from the first movie.
And they're like, oh, I remember you. And he's like, oh, yes, hi. And he stands up and then they start talking. And he's talking about how he almost died in the forest fire. He had passed out. And the lady that was with him saved his life. And now they're married.
Love, nice little love story.
Yeah. They're talking again about global warming. And that's why all these trees are looking so burnt and just messed up. And the group of people are like, well, the birds, they're out here. Aren't you worried about it? And they're like, no, we're not worried about the birds because we are, dang it, now I can't. Oh, non-emitters.
Yes.
They say we're not worried about the birds because we're non-emitters. And we have a show called Non-Emitting Life. And they don't pollute. They don't even use toilet paper because of the trees. They don't read books. They only use iPads and electronic devices. And we're like, okay, we really don't care.
Yes.
But they're going through all this.
Awful.
So then they are like, the other people are like, all right, let's get out of here. Which I would think, if these are the safe people.
I'm saying with the safe people.
Right.
Birds ain't messing with them.
Right. So they start running and they get into a huge, what are those things called?
RV.
Yes, they get into an RV.
Four wheels and an engine.
Yeah. Bill is driving the RV and they're driving along and they see people in a car. Let's go help them. So they park the car and the people that they see, there's a lady on the car. There's two guys in the car. And all three of them have serious firepower. And they're all dead. And they say, oh, they're gangbangers. So they take the guns. And they get back in the RV. And they drive off. And then they see another guy who's outside. And he's dead.
Yep.
Outside of a movie theater.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. This shit.
So they go into the movie theater. And in the movie theater, people are just all sitting down in their seats,
watching a movie,
screaming,
and being attacked by the birds in the movie theater. How the fuck they get in the movie theater?
How did the birds get in the movie
theater? Did they buy a ticket?
The birds got in. The doors are closed, but the birds got into the movie theater. And are attacking the people who are not running out of the movie theater.
I'm telling you, there's so many plot holes in this thing.
They're just sitting there. So they're like, oh, the birds, they're attacking all the people in the movie theater. We got to get out of here. So they get in, they try and get back in the RV. And the birds are coming. So they're shooting at the birds again. Then they're driving along. And Bill says, we can go through this shortcut through the cemetery. And we're like, why are they taking a shortcut through the cemetery?
Because that makes sense.
So there's red rain again.
At the cemetery. So people, yes. You can kind of see where this is going.
Yes. So red rain at the cemetery. Nobody on the RV sees this red rain, obviously.
This is weird.
All of a sudden, there's people coming out of the ground.
Oh, my God. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome zombies on top of these tar pit ancient murder birds.
Yes. So it's a small group of zombies because I guess the rain only rained on this tiny area. So there's this small group of zombies with very clean clothes on.
The cleanest damn zombies you'll ever see.
That start coming out of the ground. I mean, they're walking like zombies, so they look great as zombies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably the best actors in the damn thing.
Yeah. Bill and Rod see the people, and they're like, oh, let's see if they need help. And so everybody gets out of the RV to go over to see if these people need help. And Natalie realizes something's wrong with these people.
Thank God Natalie has better eyes than everybody else.
Yes, and that they're zombies. So they start shooting at the zombies and kicking, and somebody pistol whipped one of the zombies.
Which was hilarious.
Yeah. So the zombies are still coming at them, of course. They're not dying. One of the zombies kills the cowgirl. So they all are like, all right, let's get out of here. And they run back to the RV.
And drive away.
Yes. And Will is like, oh, we should have taken the cowgirl. And they're like, no, the zombie bit her. She would have infected all of us.
Yes.
And so he's kind of sad about it.
Well, just be sad, stupid.
Yeah. So then, for some reason, Bill wants to stop at a zoo. And he's like, let's see if there are people in the zoo that need help. So they go into this wildlife sanctuary. It's not really a zoo. It's like,
how do they not know?
Yeah.
What this is.
So they go in there. There's a guy there and they're like, oh, don't you know about the bird attack? And they're like, he's like, oh, the birds don't bother us.
They're my friends.
Yeah, we use electric vehicles and solar panels and all this stuff. And they're talking about how, you know, they don't pollute. They don't contribute to global warming. And so the birds don't bother them. The birds basically only bother people who don't care about pollution.
For toxic rain having tar pit murder birds, these are some very well-informed
yes.
pigeons. These are some well-informed eagles and vultures. Yes. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
So we're not gonna fuck with these people.
Right.
They're fine.
Yeah.
We're not gonna fuck with the tree hugger. We're not gonna fuck with the animal sanctuary dude. Right. But y'all motherfuckers.
Exactly.
Y'all motherfuckers. We got a problem.
So then they get back in the RV and they drive along again. And they see the cave people walking down the street.
Man. Oh, Jesus.
So they're like, oh, there's people walking down the street. Let's help them.
See, these are some helping people, man.
So they get out of the RV and they're walking toward the cave people. The cave people are walking toward them. And they stop in front of the cave people and they're like, hey, are you guys okay? And the cave people look at them, shrug their shoulders, and then start beating them with their clubs.
Which was awesome. It was so awesome.
So Gloria gets out of the RV. And she's like, oh my God, they're fighting. We need to help them. And Natalie grabs the gun and she jumps out. And they're running and they start going to fight the cave people and beat up the cave people.
Yep.
And then Natalie looks over at Ron and she's like, oh, you're all right. And I'm like, what the hell? Something happened between Ron and Natalie. I guess because he didn't say, yes, we're definitely getting married soon. I don't know. But she seemed to start having an attitude with him.
Yeah, man.
So then they jump back into the RV and they drive off and they run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bill says, oh, there's a hotel over there. Let's see if they have gas.
Why would a hotel have gas? Because, you know, plot, and maybe they do. Who knows?
We don't know.
Who knows?
So they walk over to the hotel, the motel, and they go to a soda machine and they get cans of soda to drink. And so they're standing around drinking sodas at the soda machine. And of course, the birds come again. And now they're fighting the birds again.
Don't you hate when you're just drinking a soda, trying to chill, and a bird is trying to kill you?
Yeah. They're fighting the birds and Will. I think he shoots a bird and it splashes on him.
Right.
So he starts getting burned and he's walking. He's doing this, the worst death walk I've ever seen. And he's holding his neck and he's walking over to the pool and he falls into the motel pool and drowns. And Rod, Natalie, Bill, and Gloria are standing there staring at him, floating in the hotel pool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the birds flying away. And then there's the credits. And that was the end of the movie.
So cute, cuddly Asian dude gets killed. The end.
Yeah. That was the end of the movie. That's how the movie ends.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So I got a little bonus that I did a little research on. And yeah. So we already know there's Birdemic. We just went through Birdemic 2, like a frigid knife through a block, just a block.
In a 2016 Vice interview, director James Nguyen said that he is hoping to eventually make Birdemic 3 Sea Eagle, which would be his last film. In October 2016, an Indiegogo campaign was raised in order to finance the third film of the series. The funding was eventually closed, with only roughly $596 out of the desired $500,000 goal.
So there will be no more Birdemics. Thank you, thank you.
For now, until someone is crazy enough to drop a $500,000 on this thing.
No, because he tried, I really think he was trying to do a Sharknado thing, but it wasn't even entertaining enough to watch to even try to be Sharknado.
Right.
So I'm glad that there will not be a Birdemic 3, at least not by James Nguyen.
Thank goodness.
Because
it was no, bad. Just absolutely not.
It
no.
was really bad.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So that's the end. We thank you guys so much for listening. Next week, we're not sure of what we're going to have yet, but we'll let you know soon.
Whatever it is, it's going to be a bigger dumpster fire than this.
Yes, yes. We will definitely bring you something hilarious. And I already know for Thanksgiving weekend, which is also my birthday weekend.
Yes, it is.
We're going to do Thanksgiving.
Ugh.
So be prepared for that one.
Mm.
So up next, we have the beautiful voice of Haley Beltzhuber. And she's going to sing an original song. You guys, you're in for a treat to hear her sing.
It's going to be amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Sit tight.
Sit tight.
As always, thank you for listening to Bad Movies and Booze, the place where you're going to hear a lot of crap and you just want to drink yourself stupid.
Yes.
But when you drink yourself stupid, just keep in mind to please, as always, drink responsibly. And with that,
cheers.
See. Finally free of you.